It's time for the Kick Around, the Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is the Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Not sure which one brought the orange slices, but here's Andy Swift and Peter Welpton.
Pookie pressing. Norwich have it back. McLean. Well, Pookie didn't get the ball he wanted, but he's got it back here. Oh! Extraordinary! From Sargent, and it did cross the line. An astonishing finish via the crossbar. And what a vital goal it could prove to be for Norwich.
Hi-de-ho, P1s, and welcome to today's Kick Around. Yes, we are terribly bad at our broadcasting day and time consistency, but it is where you, the good P1, sits around, talks soccer, and all that implies. Hi, for those new here or sitting around waiting for NFL playoff coverage to begin, my name is Peter, and also in the studio is soccer expert Andy Swift.
Where is he? Oh, that's me.
That's you. That's Q.
Allegedly.
Q for you.
So you're the pep, the energy and the just the extra pep in your walk today, just night and day compared to last week. I wonder why. Because last week you were kind of grumpy and today you were just beaming.
You know, maybe it has something to do with United winning in the waning seconds of a very important game.
Yes,
maybe it's just me making a personal attempt to be more positive and not be grumpy.
So 50-odd years later, we're going to see that kind of Peter.
I don't have a ton of happy, youthful memories. See?
But Peter, this is a good start.
All right, here's the deal. We once again are crammed into an hour. Not really an hour. It's whatever minutes we get minus commercial time to talk soccer because NFL playoffs will begin promptly at 3 p.m. So let's jump into the one thing that I think is worth talking about in the Premier League, Andy, which is since Manchester City has, despite their fumble today, won the Premiership already, and Liverpool is ensconced in second place.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay,
in
hold
just
on.
Just a second.
The only thing that is worth talking about, you would think, is fourth place, but I think we'll learn a lot more tomorrow after Chelsea and Tottenham, because Chelsea is in such a weird place. They're a team that is, you know, they've only won 3 games in their last 10.
Yeah, they're struggling lately, but what are you implying that there's a chance they fall out of the top
four? No, just that I think third place is up for up for argument, too.
Well, this is an interesting point you bring up, because what we really haven't talked about, because we're talking about that fourth place as the magic spot and why teams are fighting for it. By the way, the difference between getting in Champions League and not and like going to Europa, it's like $15 million just to get in. And then if you keep advancing, you can get up to $100 million. That's what it means for the club. So that fourth spot, very valuable. But what we haven't talked about is that if Man City, Chelsea, or Liverpool, if one of those three do not win the FA Cup, that fourth slot goes to the FA Cup champion. Right?
Are you sure about...
Europe only gets... England gets 4 spots.
That's not correct.
There's a fifth spot now added?
They've changed this. See, I've already...
But last year, that's what it was.
See, every year, we get stuck in this question, and I go and I do a bunch of research, and then I figure it out, and then I forget it. So I don't... The top 4 slots are definitely Champions League spots.
Okay.
The FA Cup winner, I think we need to go back and figure that out, Andy.
So per the official Premier League website, the fifth place team qualifies, or the winners of the FA Cup qualify for the group stage proper. Per the official Premier League website.
To the group stage proper?
Yeah.
I think we need to, before we talk live on a radio broadcast, we need to be clear about that. The top 4 slots, 1 through 4, Champions League. The top 2 get to bypass play-in. 3rd and 4th have to go through the play-in of Champions League.
No, now that they've expanded beyond Europa and they have that new Conference League, they go directly into the group stage.
That's right.
But
so confusing.
Whatever the outcome, that fourth slot.
God bless Major League Soccer.
Because
there's so less confusion.
Yeah, right. There's 4 teams. This is the important thing. four teams competing for that one spot.
Yes.
And there's a lot of money on the line. It's just much more than just finishing fourth.
Yes. But the reason why I was focusing on this Chelsea-Tottenham thing is because there are some things about that game that I think will be telling for us, which is the fact that Chelsea is in a bad spot. They have not been playing well. Believe it or not, Andy, we are almost approaching the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of Chelsea firing Frank Lampard when they were currently at that time sitting in ninth place. It was January 25th, I believe, of last year.
Okay.
When they fired Lampard, they were in ninth place. Mm-hmm. They hire Tuchel, who then not only rockets them back up mm-hmm. into a respectable position in the league, they win the Champions League,
yeah.
which is, I think you can make the argument, the pinnacle mm-hmm. of the sport, at least on the club level.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, a year later, and we're already starting to see the winds swirl that Tuchel may be in some sort of trouble because he's got all sorts of weird stuff going on in the locker room.
Because of the Lukaku issue?
Well, the Lukaku issue, and players are starting to get annoyed kind of how he treats people. And
yeah, but, I mean, is that just hot air?
I don't know.
Being blown around by those that like to stir things up? Or is there some legitimacy here because this ownership group has been known to
managers along? It's because it's Chelsea.
Yeah.
And we've seen them get rid of coaches who have had success with the club previously.
It would be nuts to get rid of Tuchel right now.
Wouldn't you think so?
Yes. Of course.
I mean, the purchase of Lukaku and then not really getting the best out of him, I think, is the storyline. You know, some of these different pieces they spent a lot of money on. You can go back to the Werner, the Havertz, the Pulisic, all these other pieces that they've bought and never really powered up into competing against Man City, at least in this year's time.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they've made progress. They're still in Champions League.
Sure.
Right? They won last Champions League. I don't know.
It
seems kind of harsh.
Maybe I'm reading it differently than
no,
you are.
I think
the sense there's something going on.
There's probably something to it because it's Chelsea. And mm-hmm. this is why people can stir things up and be believable about it.
But on the other side of the coin, you've got Tottenham, which is coming off their midweek miracle win, where Steven Bergwijn scores twice very, very late in injury time to nab not a draw, but a win for that team that they desperately needed. And you also realize they're sitting in sixth place now, just points behind West Ham and United, but they also have as many as three or four games in hand.
Yeah, right. So if you had to handicap those four teams, we're talking about United, West Ham United, Spurs, and Arsenal competing for that fourth spot. Who's your favorite? Like, you personally, I know your favorite is United, but
no, I know what you mean.
Who do you think? Yeah,
I here's the thing that I keep thinking about in my head, which is Spurs has all these games in hand, and typically, I think as a fan, you think games in hand as an advantage. But what I begin to wonder is, where is Spurs going to play all these games, and is the fact that they have all of these games in hand in many ways a disadvantage because it now crams their schedule up so much?
Right, but both Uniteds, West Ham and Manchester, have European soccer still to play, correct?
Correct.
So that adds congestion to their schedule. Maybe
well, so
Arsenal.
Does Spurs. Isn't
in,
Spurs
in the
conference? The, yeah, yeah, the European. Right. I think they fell to the European, so they've got
yeah.
that too.
Yeah.
Just something to think about here for a second, and I need to do the math on this. You know what? Actually, I'm going to save this. I've been thinking about this for the last few days. I'm going to save it till I do the math in my head. But it revolves around the reality of how many games in the entire league, the Premier League in total, have left to reschedule due to COVID and other things.
Yes.
So sit on that.
And then who they have to play. You always do your little color-coded Excel spreadsheet chart. Why don't you do one of those for these for this four-team race for fourth?
I could
do one of those.
Yeah,
those,
I could.
That
I could
be cool.
I might be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a weird situation because tomorrow's game is a really big one. It's at, I think it's at 9:30 or 10:30. I can't remember. I'll have to look up what time it is. Sam, will you look up and see what time the Chelsea-Tottenham game is, please, sir? And that game, whatever transpires from that result, I think is going to help us really inform the directions of both of those clubs.
But more so than United against West Ham today?
No.
I mean, that's another big one, right?
It is. But that's part of the component of trying to figure out how this race for fourth place is going to go.
I just think anytime these teams play against each other, they almost count double at this point.
Here's the reason why. Chelsea is so far ahead, at least point-wise, from the other three teams sitting in third place, that if you have something in your brain that maybe Chelsea may fall back into that crowd mm-hmm. and open up some space for another team to get to third, that's why you want to see how tomorrow goes. Because mm-hmm. if they win 3 points and they pull that far away from everybody else, or at least keep that distance,
right,
then you can really just focus on fourth place.
10:30 tomorrow for Chelsea Tottenham.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, we're still talking about the same thing, whether some team leapfrogs Chelsea or not, and if it's Spurs, it might be United. We're still talking about one team joining those top four, and whatever position you want to call it. There's four teams, because I don't think Chelsea's going to fall out of the top four, unless this is kind of something you might be implying as
No,
we're still talking about four teams trying to get that top four.
Okay, fair enough. I think of it as if Chelsea falters enough to kind of fall down to mm-hmm. fourth place, okay. I think that that clouds the race for other teams to get there.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If Chelsea is so far ahead that all we have is a race for fourth place, then that to me is a different scenario than Chelsea falling down and opening up third place.
Okay.
But whatever, tomato, tomato.
You know, Chelsea is playing Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final.
Are you worried about that?
Because of congestion on the schedule or just big game?
Are you worried about not beating Chelsea?
No, I think one of these two teams will get hardware. They're guaranteed hardware.
Well,
after disappointing, you know, not winning the title this year. Although, can we talk about that for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Let's do the math real quick. Just real quick. Man City is 12 points clear of Liverpool. Liverpool has 2 games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Liverpool wins those 2 games in hand, right? I mean, mm-hmm. this now is all theoretically.
Oh, this is the thing you wanted to talk about.
Now there's 6 points. And they have 1 game to play against each other. Okay. If Liverpool wins that game, it's a 3-point difference. That's very doable. Now we're talking about one loss.
Okay.
Right? Of course, it's a big mountain, but it's not like a slam dunk. Like, you know,
the only here's where I will agree with you. To me, it will end up depending how much Pep focuses on winning Champions League, which is, in my mind, the thing that they are desperate mm-hmm. to win.
Yeah.
And if there's any sense that maybe Pep is getting tired of his Man City churn and ready to go find something else to do, it is the Champions League, the lifted skirt of the Champions yeah. League that I think he is most drawn to.
Great chance.
And really, like, if they were to lose a little bit of focus, and to your point, Liverpool wins their games in hand and kind of squeezes the race. There's so much time left.
Yeah.
When I say they won the league last week when they beat Chelsea, I'm kind of half kidding.
Well, I was saying
kind of
it.
Half not.
I was saying it. I was like, yeah, that was it to
but
me.
But there is the scenario. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. All right. So we should spend a couple of minutes talking about the aforementioned win today. Manchester United hosting West Ham United, leaping them into fourth place. Now, they also have a game in hand. They have 38 points. This was, in my mind, a very hard game to watch. I didn't think it was very watchable. They clearly look like two teams that exhausted.
Yeah, first half, just not
and
sharp.
Sloppy.
Not sharp. Now, get used to it, because they're not going to get relief now, schedule-wise. I mean, teams are going to be tired now the rest of the way. They looked sloppy. They looked not sharp. But I thought the second half was actually pretty entertaining, and I thought United really stepped it up a little bit. Even though West Ham had their chances, I think ultimately United was the slightly better team.
West Ham just felt like a team that was just has played a lot of soccer of late and were just trying to hold on.
Maybe don't have
There's so depth. Many nice – Declan Rice is so good. Mm-hmm. Bowen is so good. Antonio was oddly quiet today.
Yeah, no, but he had – he
you.
There were times when his presence created opportunities.
There were no shots on goal in the first half of
yeah,
that game.
Yeah, it was terrible. Now, were you surprised Elanga started?
No, because Sancho did not play this week because he had a very close family member pass away and attended the funeral and apparently is emotionally
I know, but
beat
you,
up
you
about
got
it.
Other options. You know that.
Well, Rashford's coming off an injury situation.
Okay. So that
Sancho's
was
hurt.
Okay.
Cavani's also been dealing with an injury situation.
And I was going to ask you about that. They went back to the 4-2-3-1, right? That's what it seemed like with the double pivot instead of the 4-4-2.
It depends on if they have the ball or not. Yeah. It goes from a 4-3-3 to a 4-2-3-1 depending on when they have the ball in the other team.
Well, I didn't know if there were two D-men because Lindelof didn't play today either because of that crazy story. So.
Yeah, if you didn't hear that story, Victor Lindelof's wife and children had to hide in their own house while it was being burgled while Victor was in London playing against Brentford midweek.
So maybe that was, you know, because he wasn't available.
You end up with your two best center backs in Harry Maguire and Raphael Varane.
Yeah.
It's not like they dropped off to Phil Jones or something.
Right. You have to be slightly happy about United. And I thought there's the second half they looked.
They looked better. They just looked tired. Bruno Fernandes couldn't finish a crossing pass. If Bruno Fernandes can't make that 60-yard switching pass that he always makes, and he, over the course of the first 60 minutes of the game, shorts like four of those,
tired legs.
You just know you're tired. Yeah. You can just tell a guy's tired.
Tired legs. That's what I always tell my teammates.
When you're not making 60-yard switching passes.
No, 10-yard pass. Tired legs.
I can't pass the ball 10 yards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's going to be an issue the rest of the way with most teams.
Now, I will say, at the end of the game, United ends up scoring in injury time, literally with just seconds left and added 3 minutes. I thought it was offside in real time. I thought it was offside when they showed the freeze frame without the lines before they went away from the game. It wasn't until a long while after on social media I finally saw the PGMOL generated lines that I saw why they decided it wasn't offside.
Yeah.
But if I'm a Hammers fan, I'm mad. Because it's such a – I mean, look, I don't think as a fundamental rule I want that type of play called offside because I don't think that's the type of advantage the rule was originally written for. But I've seen so many of those things called.
Yeah.
It's all about where they stop the frame and where they decide to place the line.
But
it's too subjective.
It is. Yeah. You can't get mad for them not calling it off. If I'm a Hammers fan, I'm mad because they had the ball deep in United's end – with less than 3 minutes, and twice they stupidly lost the ball. Like just,
it's a good point.
They weren't possessing well there at the end. And credit to them, they were going for the 3 points. They weren't content with just the draw. Great. I mean, they could have played for that draw at the end when they had the ball, and they went for it. But man, they possessed so poorly two or three times. They'd give the ball away, get it back, and cough it up again.
Well, that was a bad one for the Hammers because it cost them essentially a 6-point game. And don't forget, Manchester United still has a game in hand over them. So Man U now in fourth place, which seems really weird, with 38 points. West Ham in fifth with 37. Spurs and Arsenal and everybody else still have games to play this weekend, as we talked about. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Man City's stumble today and Wolves' win next year on the Kick Around. Now that the holidays are over, I recognize there's a possibility that you didn't get that jersey, hat, or sweatshirt or whatever from your favorite soccer club. But did you know? Thankfully, all of that's still available by the great people at soccer90.com. Additionally, while you could go shop for it on their fantastic website, you do know, don't you, there is an actual retail store. Yes, there's an actual Soccer 90 brick and mortar thing up in Frisco, Texas, at Toyota Stadium next to the Hall of Fame. They're open every day of the week other than Monday. It is a great place to walk in and see everything that you and I love, soccer stuff galore. U.S. national team, MLS teams, international club teams from all over the world. They've got it. Chelsea, Man City, Bayern, Juventus, Manchester United, they got a little bit of stuff from every place. And if they don't have it, make sure you ask them because sometimes it's tough to get that stuff. Like if you're looking for a Ricardo Pepi Osberg jersey, well, you should know they're working on getting those. They also have other types of soccer gear like shin guards, gloves, etc. A little bit of everything for a little bit of all. Go to soccer90.com, the website, or go to the store in Frisco, Texas. And when you do check out, use the code KICKAROUND to get 25% off. Some exclusions apply. Soccer90.com, soccer Christmas 24/7. Speaking of screwing up, Andy, Now that you've had a chance to research, would you like to tell the good P1s what you found out about Champions League qualification?
Yeah. Just the top four automatically go through to group stage. Period. End of story.
Okay.
That's all we have to know.
The only reason why it would change is if Chelsea, because they won it last year, somehow ended up in fifth or sixth, they'd end up with the extra slot.
Yeah, but still the top four would go to...
Correct. Yes,
I agree. So you finish top four EPL group stage automatically Champions League, and that's why that fourth spot is worth at least $20 million.
You and I are in Fred Durst agreeance.
Okay.
Okay.
It's rare, but...
It is.
It's fun when it happens.
We did see a bit of an anomaly today as Man City went on the road. Believe it or not, they have now played each other twice this season, and Southampton has nabbed 4 points.
This is a home and away. Southampton would go through.
That's right. Southampton would go through on aggregate. Man City ends up drawing at Southampton today, 1-1.
Did you get a chance to watch this game?
I saw the last... No. I take that back. I did turn it on as I was getting ready to come downtown.
Shot on goal in the first half for City. One.
Look, we've seen this from them before where they get in kind of a big old lead in the league, and because they're a team so capable of magic in any given moment, they, you know.
Telling you, Liverpool has a chance here if they keep.
This is oddly hopeful on your part.
See? You would typically agree with me. Now suddenly you're like all skeptical.
I get suspect of you when you get all supportive of Liverpool's chances.
I did the math.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hasenhüttl has done it again, breaking Manchester City's 12-game winning streak. 12
good,
games.
Good for him.
You know how we always talk about how hard it is to win in the Premier League?
Yeah.
They had won 12. Not gone without losing in 12. They've won 12 up until today when they draw at Southampton.
They're
and
ridiculous.
It took a very nice free kick, set piece execution for them to bring it back. The Kyle Walker-Peter goal was very nice to open the game early. And also need to give Manchester City a big talking to about wearing those awful, awful navy blue third kits.
You don't like those?
At Southampton. Why are they not wearing their regular light blue?
I don't know. Do you like Liverpool's yellow?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I do like those.
Do you like Man United's new warm-up jerseys they wear? The long-sleeve warm-ups that you haven't seen those?
Maybe I haven't seen those.
Those multicolored fatigue-like.
No.
But they're like red.
You mean, the ones that look like they're camouflage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are all right. Those aren't bad.
They're not all right.
They're not too bad.
They're terrible.
Now, I do feel like we do need to take a couple of moments to address the amazing growing... awfulness that is Everton.
It's definitely growing. It's getting worse.
They lose today at home to Aston Villa. Everton now, what's the running record?
I think they've lost 4 of their last 5. I think it's 4 losses and a draw, if I'm not mistaken.
How about I put it in this perspective?
Please do.
If you were to take the last 10 games as a sign of form, the form table for the last 10 games, mm-hmm. Everton is in 19th place.
Sounds about right.
1 win, 1 draw.
Wow.
8 losses.
8 out of 10.
I think if you extend it out, our last win comes in the last 14 matches now, I believe. Like, you have to go back 14 matches, and we've only won once.
So it's the worst run of form for this number of games, 10 games or whatever, since 1994.
It is pretty ridiculous. And when you really begin to dig into what happened when they fired Rafa last week, because I didn't realize that Rafa... Sam, you're going to help me out here. How long before his sacking had he fired all these key staff members?
The report I think now is at least a couple weeks. Like, it's kind of messy depending on what paper you read over there, but he basically pulled a power play and then they pulled the rug from under
him. It was like the main medical person and like a training.
Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 different backroom guys that had been there for a minute, and he was. Fighting with them because, again, apparently he's a giant a-hole. This is what we're now learning.
And they also sell Digne to Aston Villa. And then they fire Rafa like 3 days later.
And guess who kicked the corner this morning for the only Aston Villa goal?
So this is a lot of managers and not a lot of years. I mean, sooner
six
or later,
and 6 years.
Yeah, you got to, you know, there's problems upstairs, right? I mean, clearly.
Oh, yeah. I think we now need to start bringing this to Farhad Moshiri and be asking, what are you doing at this point?
So here's my question. Who in the world wants this job that is capable of turning it around? Seriously, think of it. Like, why wouldn't they just stick with Duncan Ferguson?
I think that's honestly what's going to happen at this point. Ancelotti this week said he thinks that's the thing they should do.
Ancelotti?
Who's hanging out in Madrid.
Why is he chiming in here?
I don't know why. He's just here to cause chaos. Hey, guys, remember me? I'm back for a minute. So I got a TV show, a tertiary character comes back.
Did they go out and ask him, hey, by the way?
I think somebody did. I think he was at a press conference and they did ask him about Everton. He's like, oh, yeah, Duncan's great.
So glad I got out of there is what he said.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, Frank Lampard's been rumored. There's been a couple other players.
Is that still alive?
No, so the Belgian FA has said you can't go take that job. Okay. And I'm like, thank you, Belgium. Thank you for helping us.
See, I know they're talking about Wayne Rooney and Lampard doesn't have a gig. Rooney, I don't follow the championship very closely, but I know the Derby situation is really weird because they got all the 21-point deduction. I think they're actually playing well enough that there is a scenario in which if he keeps them playing as well as they have been playing of late.
Last time I checked, they were so far below. I'll look it up while you talk. You keep talking.
I will keep talking. My point is that I think Rooney in that job is not necessarily the best thing in the world. Yeah, Derby in their last six has only lost once. In their last 10, they've only lost a few times in their last 10.
But they're so far down that...
Well,
eight points behind safety. That's a lot.
I don't know, man. They got Wayne Rooney. Don't doubt Wayne.
For now.
All right.
The man bravely had hair implants put in and was open about it.
Speaking of points from safety, Everton is now only 4 points from relegation.
But they do have two games in hand above most of
the teams. We know about these games in hand.
Considering your run of form,
they have them at least.
No, not two games in hand. Only one game in hand from Newcastle, who won today. So Newcastle at 15, Everton at 19.
It's not great.
It's
not great right now. We're going through it at the
moment. So let's also take a quick minute to talk about the great American carrot. Josh Sargent hits a brace yesterday for Norwich in their big win, 3-0 yesterday.
Did you see? Well, you saw the goals, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that first goal, pretty sweet. I mean, it's a little bit
lucky. It's a reactive, lucky, kind of like in the park kind of goal, but man, it counts. And he had to do it. He had to pull it off.
By the time they kicked off, obviously he already knew he wasn't going to get called up, right? And he's been probably talked to by Berhalter days in advance about this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew. You think that fired him up a little bit? It doesn't really matter. I mean, he's fired up anyway, trying as hard as he can just to keep a spot at Norwich, right, in the starting lineup. But
well, here's the thing. Norwich now has won their last two games. They're now out of the relegation zone by a point. Now, the other teams beneath them all have many games, and at least one, if not, if you're in Burnley's situation, 5 games in hand.
Who are the three teams that will get relegated now? If you looking at those between Norwich, Newcastle, Watford, and Burnley.
Well, so the Watford story is that Claudio Ranieri is now in danger of being fired after only like 3 weeks or whatever it is he's been on the job.
It's crazy.
And who's going to take that gig? Newcastle's got a bunch of injuries. They had more, and I know they won today, but I think Lascelles, Jolington, and one other guy got hurt today.
So do you think then it's Norwich that saves themselves?
I think I've always thought that Norwich, just because they're such a good, sweet group of guys.
Minus 32 goal difference. They're just not very good, and they beat Watford.
I have a hard time believing Everton is seriously in such a bad shape that they can't figure out a way to get somebody in that gig to get them to... There's too much talent on that team.
Who's the guy...
So if you're asking me the question, who I think ends up in the bottom three... Until we get through the transfer window at the end of the month, because I'm so, you know, is Newcastle and all their money going to buy somebody or somebodies?
We're getting pretty close.
I mean, they got Chris Wood.
Are we a week away?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if anything's going to happen at Newcastle.
Do you have a prediction of which three?
I think out of those four, Watford is the one that saves themselves.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Newcastle did get a win over Leeds, who, by the way, had a great win midweek, by the way. I enjoyed quite a bit. And Wolverhampton got a win over Brentford 2-1 at Brentford, which is where Manchester United won midweek.
Don't fly your drone over the stadium because they will halt the procedures.
Yeah, that's a weird one. They held that game up for
15, 20 minutes.
At least.
Yeah, until that drone cleared.
Somebody should have just shot it.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. I don't think they're allowed to have guns over there to do that. See?
So then why would the drone be dangerous? I guess
because the drone
crash.
May have a gun on it.
You could crash the drone.
Has a little missile shooter on it.
Right.
Or poison.
That second goal, by the way, that Wolf scored was sweet. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. It is good.
Wolves is a good team.
You think?
Yep.
Wolves now are up to eighth place with 34 points. Big games tomorrow, kids. Let's look at those real quick before we go. Tomorrow in the Premier League, Arsenal and Burnley. Burnley finally are going to play some soccer. Crystal Palace hosting Liverpool, Leicester hosting Brighton. Leicester's got to pick themselves up off the mat. And then as we talked about a little while ago, Chelsea and Spurs is the game at 10:30 here Central
Time. What
do
you like? You like Spurs with the win there, huh? I'm thinking you liking Spurs to finish fourth.
I think that's going to be a draw. Chelsea Spurs will end up a draw.
Are you calling Spurs the fourth place team when it's all said and done?
No. Arsenal?
No. Who are you picking to finish fourth?
My boys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good for you. See, you're oddly optimistic, too.
I don't know.
What's going on here? It's weird. This is weird.
It's an all-new me. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we got to talk a little men's national team. What did Pepe do in Germany today and other stuff before we're finished here on the Kick Around. All right, NFL football playoff coverage will start here promptly at the top of the hour, which means we just have a few more minutes left. The U.S. men's national team does pick back up where they left off in World Cup qualification on Thursday, Andy? Mm-hmm, is that right? Against El Salvador in frigid Columbus, Ohio.
So have you been checking the weather for Columbus, Hamilton, Canada, and Minnesota?
I'm going to guess it's going to be chilly. Nipply.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be quite cold. Columbus is going to be in the 20s game time.
All right. You are our CONCACAF expert.
No.
You are a CONCACAF match official in your spare time.
Allegedly.
There is a running debate amongst everything about the U.S. Men's National Team and U.S. Soccer Federation is a constant debate. But there is an ongoing conversation about whether or not it was smart on the Federation's part to schedule these games in Columbus, knowing they had to go to Canada and then finish it in Minnesota.
Yeah. So that has nothing to do with CONCACAF. That has to do with
soccer. But you know the other nations. Do you think it's a good idea to be playing those games there?
What I'm thinking is, are we if the elements get too extreme, let's say it snows, then and you feel like you're better than the other team, are you just not adding a level of complication to a game that didn't need to be complicated because you're going to outplay them anyway playing at home?
I know there's a lot of talk about travel times and things. Like, this is the shortest amount of travel in a very tiny window and the advantage of the cold for these Central American countries. But I agree with you. I think the odds of getting injuries and the complications of the weather are unneeded at a very valuable time. Yeah. And when you begin to mix in Berhalter's actual roster selection.
Well, okay.
Which is also highly controversial.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's finish the weather issue.
I don't know. I'm just asking, do you think it's smart for them to do that?
No, I think, you know, they do it partly because they want the advantage weather-wise, partly because they want to isolate themselves in an area of the country where they're not, you know, like they figure there's not going to be a lot of Salvadorian fans traveling to Columbus in the middle of winter. So they figure that that'll enhance the home field advantage in Columbus. But at the end of the day, if you feel like you have one of the top two teams in your confederation and you're playing, you know, lesser-leveled teams, just play in good conditions and play like you should at home, and you should get the points.
I I would tend to, I'm just very worried this is going to blow up in their face. Something about the weather is going to end up blowing back on them in a way they didn't intend it to.
So Columbus is just going to be cold. There's no forecast or precipitation in Columbus, so that'll be okay. Minnesota, there's a chance of snow, and that's where things might get a little bit more complicated.
All right. Now,
so roster. Let's
the roster is very, you know, there's lots of people all freaked out about the roster because there's too many Major League Soccer players out of season playing in it.
Yeah. So, like, when you look through it, was it a bad?
No.
It wasn't to me, but.
There's a lot of people upset that Joe Scally wasn't called up, but that's a kid who I think had COVID recently and is just now back with the team. I think a lot of people are freaked out that John Brooks didn't get called
Brooks
up.
Yeah, Brooks is the one omission, right?
Does anybody remember how bad John Brooks has played for the national team of late? Like, it's like people are forgetting this.
And I think he's going, you know, the direction here is to have a Robinson-Zimmerman duo, and that's going to be kind of the center back duo that he's going to want moving forward.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're an FC Dallas fan, obviously Ricardo Pepi is there. Mm-hmm. That's a kid that needs, because played today for Augsburg. They got beat badly, 5-1. He only played 50-something minutes. He hasn't scored yet for them.
Yeah. We'll dissect the whole Pepi situation in another show when we have a little bit more time. But, you know, I just fear a little bit that he's in a bad spot there with a bad team and not getting the service he deserves. Was there an omission at four that somebody you thought deserved to be at four? Like, Sargent would be the one, but he didn't play well with the national team when he got the chance, right?
I think they've got what they...
I agree.
I think they have enough to qualify. We'll talk more about it next week if, in fact, we have a show. We don't know yet if we're on the air yet next week or not. But Thursday night, they do play El Salvador, so you're not going to want to miss that. And then they got Canada, and then they've got
Honduras
after that. All right. Well, there's another shoddy of the kick around. And as I said, I don't know if we'll be on next week, but please go follow all of our adventures on the website, thekickaround.com. Thanks to everybody helping out today. Sam, you kick ass. P1s, we love and we adore you. Go on out there, get stuck in, and win your 50s.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station.